So what I'd like for you to do is literally look in front of you. Literally look in front of you. What do you see? You're going to see songbooks. You're going to see a Bible. You're going to see guest cards. You're going to see those pencils that you only see in church and at golf. And you're going to see these things that are directly in front of you. Last Sunday, we had our meal, and then Shane helped me put the bulletin boards up over on this side. Did a very good job, and I guess Crislin and John and the McCarries were in here cleaning up the cards and cleaning up the pencils and digging stuff out of places and such. And she said, you know, she came in my office, you got a second? And I said, sure. I've been working on something else. And she said, hey, I want to show you some stuff. And she laid out some excellent points that pertain to Christianity. So I'm typing away, and I don't hope she didn't think I was ignoring her. I was just typing away at what she said, and she goes, well, what do you think? I said, I think you've just given me my sermon next week. So I've been able to use the points that she had talked about and tied those with appropriate scriptures. And what we're going to see in looking straight in front of us, literally looking in front of us, how we need to deal with people that look differently, how to deal with people who act differently. And we're going to see that even though it's difficult, we need to seek and save everyone that we have the opportunity to. You know, our first point this evening is going to be the visitor and the member cards. Visitor and the member cards. These are the actual cards that she brought to me. She said we have a couple of variations of cards. Pick a card, any card. And we look at these cards, they have the same information. Some of them have places in different spots, but you're going to get the same thing. But what made these unique were what was on the back of them. You have artwork. This one was by Laura. Very good. I don't know what she was drawing, but you're a very good artist, Laura. And then we have Amara Tonya 222T22RALT. I don't know what that is. Somebody was working on their T's and their J's. Got another one of Alora wearing a pretty dress. Very good. Then another kid was drawing skateboarders with Justin Bieber hair. And then another one with Justin Bieber hair that they crossed out. So we might have had a Bieber fan, and then we have somebody who's not a Bieber fan. Ultimately, I didn't realize I had these. Well, look, got a bunch of little puppy dogs. Just cute as can be. All of these are different. They're a little out of circulation right now. But they're different. These went through different people, different notes, different kids. And while they're all different, they all have the same information on them. When we write down on the front, you got your name and address, when you attended, if you're a visitor, things of that nature. The thing that ties us together is we're humans, but we look different, and we look different. I'm not going to jump into my second point just yet. You know, the different things that are on here are different backgrounds. You know, we know that some people are in an atmosphere where they're able to, they have different experiences. I imagine that if there was a child that never saw a dog, they would have trouble drawing such a beautiful dog. And so we can know that they've been around dogs. We know that some of the other pictures were things that people had experienced. Where we may not have experienced those things, they have. And you know, while wounds may heal, the scars are still there. The scars remain behind. But we can look at those scars in a positive way. When we look at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. As I said in Wednesday night class, you know, there may be someone at some point that comes into our services having a mohawk and looking different than everyone else. Let's embrace them, let's love them, and let them know that they're welcome. You know, I'm still of the belief that the first mohawk came from a guy trying to even out his sideburns. Just eventually just got right up to the top. We see people who look different. Let's reach out to them. We see people that act different. Let's reach out to them. Because ultimately, the more people that join the Lord's church are going to face the people who persecute us. We want a strong family of different types of people, like-minded in belief, working for the purpose of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though its test is by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Everyone in here has endured a trial that has made them tough, that has made them more equipped to do the service of the Lord. I lost 3 out of 4 grandparents to different types of cancer. I'm going to be able to reach out to people and say, "This is what I felt, this is what I endured," and help them while they're going through this grieving process. There may be things that you've endured that no one else in here has endured. You're special. You can reach out to people that no one else may be able to. You're different. And while some people look at the trials, "Why have I had to endure so much in my life? Why have I had to endure this? Oh, God, why me? Rain, thunder, oh, why?" Let's not shake our fist at God. Let's say, "These things I've endured, I've come through. If a trial comes my way, I'm going to get through it. What can I use the knowledge I have for? Using it for the kingdom." Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, "By your endurance you will gain lives," or "you will gain your lives." By endurance, by going through different issues that may scar us, may cause us to look differently, by these things we will gain our lives if we stay faithful to God, obedient to the pattern. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope unto the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." We're guaranteed persecution. We see that that is going to happen. We can't possibly expect to get through this life being a Christian scot-free, where nothing bad happens to us, everything is great. If you haven't dealt with issues and stuff, I want to know what bubble you're living in. The things that we endure make us equipped to seek and save the lost of those who are around us. You know, while these cards may look different, I sure like them. We got some artistes. We got some neat notes. We got things that make these cards different from the other cards. The other cards aren't any more special. We need to accept people for their physical differences, working with them. The pencils. I didn't get the pencils. There were too many of the pencils. You know, pencils are interesting in the church pew. We have pencils that have been, that have had the lead broken. We've had pencils that have been chewed on, which is gross. We've had, you know, pencils that have been broken in half. You're my friend. We've had all kinds of different things that happen to those pencils. I like to view pencils like, you know, personalities. You get a personality with these pencils. You can be broken down. You can get chewed up. You can have all these different things. And the use of the pencil, if you're going to want to use it again, you got to sharpen it. You've got to sharpen the pencil. You know, this is the 9 corporate personalities from Forbes. I found it today. You've got the Bambi, which is funny to me. You've got believers, soldiers, survivors, alphas, pragmatists, heretics, naturals, and toilers. The Bambi, almost every recruit and many new hires start out bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. They are fresh hard drives ready to be filled with data. Now the direction that they go is going to be up to them. What we see next is the believer. The believer is a broad category that continues to branch. Generally, believers carry the torch for the brand and rally others. They'll proudly wear company-branded polos and have cubed offices adorned with trophies, knickknacks, and photos of company picnics. They'll talk your ear off about the new specs on the Wichitizer 5000. The alphas are the Delta Force. They'll eventually run business units and ultimately the company. Alphas love crushing competition and playing the corporate game. Their identity of self-worth and status are linked to the corporate conquests. Sometimes that can be a problem, as they can be abrupt, egotistical, or have a you're either with me or you're fired type of attitude. Look elsewhere for second chances or a shoulder to cry on. Alphas are very driven. What we also see is survivors. Survivors make it to senior positions, but don't quite have the horsepower of alphas or naturals. They know how to work the system, and survivors don't like taking risks and don't want to change the world unless it's a sure thing. Soldiers are solid team players. They're not well-rounded as naturals or alphas to seek out clarity and to avoid ambiguity like it's a flaming rag in an Exxon station. That's what they wrote down, and that's something we should all avoid. So if you're taking notes, stay away from flaming rags at a gas station. We have the pragmatist. Pragmatists are the yings to the believers' yangs. Many are just as capable or talented, but they're generally more skeptical and analytical and idealistic. We have the natural. Naturals are ambitious and talented, but demand more balance in their life. They can be as effective as alphas, but tend to be more humble and jocular. They deliver results and earn genuine loyalty and respect from their peers. They don't mesh well with the survivors. They want to work. We have the heretic. Heretics are the wild cards. Some are visionary idealists and innovators who can change the company or the world. Others just don't like rules that are difficult to work with. I'm sure we've all encountered those. And then there's the toiler. Represent a large portion of any corporate population. They typically view work as necessary to be what matters most to them outside of work. Well, they consider family, travel, and building battle bots as more important. And toilers may not look to conquer the corporate world, but they're essential to the success of any company. That may have been tough to listen to, but what you're going to see, even with all nine of these, is you're going to have the mutts or the pure breeds. There are going to be people that don't exactly fall into every category. There's going to be different personality quirks that they may have that they're going to fit into something else as well. It's like the Myers-Briggs. I believe I was an ENFJ. And there are other people that are INFPs or whatever they are, and we all have different personalities that are and can be very complex. So we talk about personalities. You know, the pencils have personalities. We as people have personalities. Romans 12, 4 through 6, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, individually members of one of another. Some of those pencils had to take into retirement. They go into a classroom to be worked on, or I don't know what they do, but for this example, we can't say thrown away. That's just not going to work. But for these pencils, different things have different roles that they have. Much like the Lord's church, we all have different roles to fill, as we all have different experiences. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14, or 12 through 18. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, behold, I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. I like to teach. I feel like I'm equipped to teach an adult class, and I think I do a moderately okay job at that. And then you have people like Joan and Ann Pickerel that can play with the babies, and not play, but teach the babies. And got Lily and coming out, Bible. And of course, Lisa's working with her too, but I imagine I'd pull my hair out if I had to deal with the babies and the twos and the three-year-olds. I would be terrible at it, because you probably would hear me yelling, "Stop it!" It'd be like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop. Who is your daddy and what does he do? What we end up seeing is everybody has a different role, has a different ability. And we all need to work together to make the body complete. John 14:21. Whoever has my commandments and keep them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. While we're all different, if we're obedient to the same plan, that biblical pattern, if we're obedient to that, we will spend an eternity with the Father. We can't grocery shop our Christianity and go, "I'll have some of this and leave some of that, have a little extra of this," even though it's not in the Bible. We can't do that. If we're going to be pleasing to the Father, we are obedient to the commandments that have been given to us, and we keep them. In the 139th Psalm in verse 14, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well." The things we've endured that have made the personalities that we have the way that they are still make us all individually and collectively fearfully and wonderfully made. You're special, and you can do so much for the Lord. The slots, I don't know what they're called, the card slots, is that, we in consensus, that's an okay name? Card slots, that's what we're going to go with. Now, Chrisland said that they were trying to dig in there, and I was going to attempt it, but I got big old hot dog fingers. I don't think I'm getting anywhere close to inside those slots to pull out all kinds of toys, probably from my aisle. I got Island of Misfit Toys in the very bottom of these slots, and you got to dig in there and pull out pencils. You have to dig in and you pull out toys. Bet you probably found some gum or something along. You did? Oh, that's gross. And so many other things were down in those slots, difficult to get out. But after they were all out, the hard work paid off. The cards fit back in the slot as they're supposed to. We should view these different personalities. We should view these different physical traits. Tie these together and realize when we're out seeking and saving the lost, when we're out diligently finding those who are searching for the truth, it's going to take some work. We're going to have to get dirty, and it's not going to be fun in some cases, but the effort is well worth it. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. What better work to do than work for God? In Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Hal and I got to talk this afternoon. I came in to work on my PowerPoint as the elders' meeting was concluding. And you know, Hal and I were talking about a congregation that had to close their doors. Karen were on a vacation. The building was all were boarded up. The windows were boarded up. But a Bear Valley grad went down there, was working with the congregation. Last, I think Hal said he heard there were 50 members there. Went from a congregation that may have been sluggards that have gone lazy. I don't know. But we do know the opposite side of that. A diligent soul went, worked with people who were serious about the truth, and many souls were saved. If we want to grow, if we want to be vibrant, if we want to be active, if we want to seek and save the lost, we're going to have to be a people who are diligent. A people who are ready to do whatever it takes to seek and to save the lost. People who are going to look for opportunities. People who aren't going to have to be prodded and say, "Well, you know, if the elders ask me, I guess I'll do it." Guys, we have elders that work hard. We have elders that love this congregation. Don't put any more on their plate than you have to. Don't give them an extra duty to say, "Well, you know what, they know me. And if they think of something, they can find me." If they had to call every member, they'd have to probably be on the phone 24 hours a day, and all three of them calling at the same time. Let's take initiative. Let's say I want there to be lost souls who find salvation. I want to find something that I'm able to do to reach people with what I have, the experiences I've gone through. I want to go out and reach out to them with the truth. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Him or through Christ who strengthens me. We've got the gospel. We've got the Word of God. I love being a member of the New Testament church. Any question you ask, where do we find it? Find it in Scripture. I don't have to come up with anything. You ask me a question, flip, 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 there's the Scripture. That's why we do this here. That's why we've lived this way. That's why we say this is how you become a Christian, because Scriptures solidify our beliefs. Our beliefs don't shape the Bible. The Bible shapes our beliefs. We have a plan. That plan is the Great Commission, and that Great Commission can and still does work. Are we ready to go out and reach out to people who may look different than us, who may act different than us? Are we ready to go out and do what it takes to help souls find their salvation? Proverbs 14:23, "In all toil there's profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty." We can sit back and go, how great would it be if we grew? Yeah, that'd be awesome. What could we do? Well, here's some ideas. This would be neat. Sure would be cool if someone would do that. Oh, man, great meeting, guys. All right, let's go back home and go to sleep. Start off the next day and not change a single thing. In toil, there is profit. Brethren, if we work, there will be a result. If we work, souls will find salvation. Jesus wouldn't send us on a wild goose chase. If He tells us the Great Commission is going to be profitable and something we should do, it is and will be effective for us. So the conclusion of the lesson this evening, do we see the business cards? Not business cards, visitor cards. They look a little different. They're different looking people. Do we see the pencils? Some are chewed up, some are broken. Sharpen them up, working with people. Do we see the slots? The cards and the pencils. Different types of people, physically and emotionally. Everyone is worth being searched for. Everyone is worth being searched for. Souls are so precious you can't put a dollar amount on them. But if we were to say, you know what, if you'll study with someone, I'll give you $10,000. Unfortunately, we'd have people that perk up and go, oh, well, I could share the gospel that way. Oh, you're going to cut me a check for $10,000 to go study with someone? Pfft, I'll do it. Yep. I'll baptize two. I'll study with two people, get them to be Christians. Maybe three. I'm going to rack up my retirement in spreading the gospel. Souls are worth so much more than a check for money. What is it going to take for you to be excited to reach out to people who may be different than you and to work with those around you to be the most effective team that we can possibly be? You know, we want everybody to be a part of the team, don't we? But not everybody is. If you're not a Christian, how the Bible tells you to become a Christian, you're not added to the Lord's church. I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to be a jerk, because PC today tells us that we need to tell everybody that they're okay. Everybody's not okay. Everybody's not okay. The Bible has given us a plan to become a Christian. That is the plan that we must follow, not some man-made doctrine. If you've heard and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as John 3:16 states, ready to repent of your sins, as Luke 13:3 says, as Christ said, repent or likewise perish. If you're ready to confess your sins, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, or confess Jesus Christ as Lord, not confess your sins. And if you need to be baptized, you have to be baptized. Baptism is where we walk in a newness of life, as Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 state. And it is a baptism that we are saved, as 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 says. Then you live the best life that there is to live, living with the limitations God has put, but those limitations lead us to an eternity with Him forever. You know, if you are already a Christian, and you're struggling with your walk, if you have fallen away from the faith, If you are sinning and it be in private, but you need help getting out of that sin, let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. We want everyone in attendance this evening to be a member, if they're of accountable age. And we want every member here to be as strong as they possibly can. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.